Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes.
Hi, my name is Rick Kellberg for CPA Trendlines with a distinguished panel of guests today. Our moderator will be Seth Feinberg. Seth, you probably know him from Accounting Web. And before that, Accounting Today, he spent decades covering the tax, accounting, and finance business. Well known, well connected. And some of our best friends are here today.
Oh,
Seth,
man,
will introduce them, but
it's a great gathering.
You may already know Tenji Kurimoto, Kelly Parks, and Chad Davis. And with that, I will turn it over to Seth and give the host controls to Seth as well. Seth, you're in the driver's seat.
All right. Oh, Randy Crabtree coming in from who knows where these days. Hey, everybody. Thank you for joining definitely my first and our, you know, collective between myself and I'm Rick Telberg. I am here, you know, both as, you know, myself as Seth Feinberg, and also you might have seen as Accountants Forward. That is the business entity that I've created, and it's also something that I believe in. I believe that this profession can and needs to move forward in the best way possible. And by having chats like this, by having discussions like this, it's just one way that I think that we can all, you know, really have the kinds of discussions that we need to. So Rick, thank you so much for hosting this and co-hosting this with me. I am truly honored. I don't want to use that term too much, but it can't be said enough, to have with me this absolute distinguished panel of heavy hitters, practitioners in their own right, folks running their own firms, dealing with very similar technology issues and challenges that you all are every day. Tenji Kurimoto, Kelly Parks, Chad Davis, to me, are just three of the individuals who I've gotten to know personally, but also who, again, are running their own practices and really have kind of really jumped in with tech and really kind of, you know, kind of taking it by the throat and going, all right, I'm going to figure this out. I know that my clients really need me to be on top of this. I'm going to run my practice in such a way that is, you know, considered by many of the accounting masses tech forward. So don't feel too intimidated. You know, if you guys are, you know, everyone's at their own, you know, level of the adoption curve. And this can't be overstated too much. I've been overseeing the profession now for over 20 years, both as technology editor of Accounting Today and also as the editor of Accounting Web. And in that time, you know, I continue to talk to firms pretty regularly. And you know, the rate of change, the pace of change really has never been, and maybe this is, you know, redundant, but it's never been sort of more intense than it has now. And not just that, we've never had the sheer amount of technological decisions, the impact that technology has had on all of your practices and all the practices out there today has never been, you know, what it is before. When I started, you know, it was still all very much predominantly desktop based. And even that, you know, it was, you know, you had sort of a finite amount of actual software to work on, right? And platforms and systems. You knew who it was, you knew your practice management, you had a few choices there, your accounting work that you did, the payroll work that you did, the external work that you did, and things to run your practice were pretty finite. And then along came the cloud and apps, and that really blew the doors open. And now we're talking about the new level of automation with AI, and it has everyone kind of in a tizzy, except the folks in this room. We're gonna get to all of that. We want this to be an actual discussion. We're definitely not going to get to everything that we need to in our hour of power here, but I really thank you all for joining us, for taking time out of your day. As mentioned in the promotions, this is not for CPE. It is a non-sponsored event. We did that with purpose because in my view, you know, again, no disrespect to a lot of the vendors who are out there, who are doing things, who are sponsoring a lot of these chats, who are doing things, you know, for CPE. It's great. I want them to be communicating with you all in a way that is beneficial and meaningful to you. But this was a conscious choice by myself and Rick to have a chat like this that has no agenda behind it other than getting you the kind of information we feel that you need and starting the kinds of discussions around technology adoption that you need for your firm and for your work and therefore non-influenced in any way. So, you know, we can kind of talk about a vendor or two if we need to, and, you know, nobody's, you know, here necessarily, you know, in the room. So let's jump into it. Again, any questions, please throw them into, you know, the chat here. We will get to them. We hope to get to them, but I've got my own list of questions here. Real quick introductions, guys, and then let's get into it. Kenji, why don't you kick it off?
Just sure.
Quick, thanks. Quick snapshot of you for those who don't know you, and then Kelly, and then Chad.
Sounds good. Seth, Rick, thanks for having us. Yeah, Kenji, I am with the firm Acuity. We are essentially an outsourced accounting firm based in the U.S., out of headquartered in Atlanta, Georgia. So our service lines are basically predominantly CAS, outsourced CFO, outsourced controller, and kind of a virtual bookkeeping solution, along with a small tax practice. And we typically focus and target working with very, very high growth entrepreneurs. So those tend to be SaaS-based technology companies, e-commerce, crypto, some creative services, things like that. That gives you an idea about, you know, the service lines, who we work with typically as clients. And then we have a team of about 150 employees. About 100 of them are in the U.S. The rest are international into the Philippines or Caribbean. So that'll give you a little bit of a sense of how we approach all this tech from a firm of our size and who we're serving.
Excellent. Thanks. Kelly, go.
I'm Kelly Parks of Calm Waters Cloud Accounting. I am a micro firm up here in Canada. I generally deal with multi-entity corporations. I am taking on now, I'm taking a break until the spring, and then I will be taking on books for accounting firms, the accounting firms' books. So currently I do hot messes for some of the accounting firms. I do more project work than MRR, so the hot mess. And I have a couple accounting firms. I'm doing their books, and I love that. So I've decided that's my new niche come the spring. So that's kind of fun. I'm gearing up for that. I love tech. I consider myself tech forward, but human centric. So there we go. That's me.
Excellent.
Oh, I deal with US. I'm Canadian based, but yes. I'm also a US pro advisor.
Yes. Yes, you are. Thank you, Kelly. Chad, take it away, buddy.
I'm not a US pro advisor, but I am Canadian. And we've grown predominantly as a CPA firm in Canada from just my business partner and I up to over 110 people, and then back down to about 60 or 70. And that's a really interesting story. Sometime we can talk about. But intentionally, my role has been around the technology adoption, both of our team throughout that process and our customers. So for every new customer that's ever come on board with us, I've been involved in creating new financial tech stacks for them. And that really led to a really interesting introduction to a dev team that we created inside of our accounting firm. So working through automations, coding stuff for clients, and then we ripped that out of the firm. So there's all kinds of trying things, coming back to basics, with a real focus on what the customer needs. And I think I'm a little bit addicted to the technology side of things, but like Kelly said, the eyes on the prize with what customers and your team really needs to move forward in their career and in their business. So that's sort of been where I've been spending most of my time. Also, 6 months in Canada, 6 months in the US out of the year.
Driving across the continent in your RV. I hope it's holding up well, Chad.
It's holding up.
I'm glad.
I modeled myself after Chad that I want to spend 6 months not in Canada either. So I followed him to the States.
It is warmer cool. In the U.S. Yeah, in the winter. Yeah,
very
thanks
cool.
For having us.
Thanks for being here. So we're already getting some questions coming in. I am going to get to them. I just wanted to kick off with you guys just saying, look, when it comes to you know, making these technology decisions, you guys talk to other practitioners as well. You know, what's the most common misstep that firms are taking who are making, you know, these days in regards to their technology decisions? What comes up the most where they're just, yeah, they probably, you know, not doing that right? Kelly, why don't you start off?
Sometimes I see that people go after what the shiniest thing is, what their friends are doing.
The new and shiny, yeah.
What has the big names out there that possibly may be solving a problem that they don't even have or that they're not going to interact with properly. So they're looking to technology that isn't solving their problem. You're going shiny. So your friend's running around and trying new things and you're just spinning your wheels. If you don't have the same problems that they do, I think that then you're bringing in too much tech. So part of it is, you know, you can just adopt tech that you absolutely don't need and that maybe isn't even fun, that could actually take you out of your workflows as well. It could break processes that are having well. So I think being more measured in what you're going to bring on that suits you and making sure not just the app has the features, but that the UX and the UI makes you want to interact with it as well. I think so.
Yeah.
That's what I got.
Tenji, what are you hearing? Similar, Kelly, people going for the new and shiny. Maybe you even guilty of that yourself early on.
Sure.
Not throwing you under the bus or anything.
I've been very guilty of chasing the new and shiny or next squirrel or whatever it is. And I think that there's probably some of us who are in that spot, like, ooh, what's the newest, craziest thing? I would bet the three of us panelists are probably like that. As you hear more about us, we're kind of technology forward. But I also see a lot of accountants who have not taken that first step, are a little bit stuck because I think there needs to be an acknowledgement of the ecosystem is, it's freaking huge these days. It's blown up. It's massive when you look at how many tech solutions are. And I think folks are feeling a little flat-footed. I think it's hard to get started because you're kind of going, there's so many choices out there. And so I see that being a little bit paralyzed of like, I'm not even exactly sure which way to go here. How do I attack this massive ecosystem, this huge market? And so I think that's a place where, and I think very, very understandably, people get stuck there. Like that's, I get it. Like, you're just like, where do I even start? How do I boil the ocean or eat this elephant here? Right. So I think that's a tough spot to be in.
Not that we're boiling any elephants or drinking oceans, people.
No, none of those things. Let's hope we get those analogies the right way to make sure we don't get in trouble. But I think that's a spot where folks are kind of watching and not taking enough action. We'll probably talk about that in a little bit about steps and things people can take. But I think be a little flat-footed. That's the one I'm concerned about with some practitioners and firm owners who are just a little stuck. But I get why they are.
Yeah. Chad, is this something you want to weigh in on just in terms of, you know, some of the common missteps? We're getting some good questions and I want to get to those.
Sure. I think common missteps for me relate back to, like, you can think about starting, like Kenji talked about. Yeah, it's hard sometimes to start. You're not sure where to go. But a lot of firms have started. They've implemented something. And then they might get stuck, right? Did they choose the right one? Should I switch practice management firms? Should I switch my email provider? Should I switch this? And what I'm seeing is that a lot of the, maybe the firms that I'm running around with or speak to, they make those decisions in smaller silos. So maybe the ownership and maybe the management level, but it's not as deep as it could be. So really identifying the issues that pop up that will give you more benefits to actually switching or to maybe leaning into more training to, you know, make the product actually work better.
Yeah.
Is somewhat of a common theme. So I think that there's a lot of options that you can do to mitigate this. And that's why I've been on a big kick for continual training of your team and getting,
no matter what size firm you are, you can.
That's right. And like, this looks different at different levels, right?
Oh, sure.
And I just think I see too many people not investing in that feedback loop that's standardized and objective versus the touchy-feely, subjective type of feedback that we typically get from a lot of people. So organizing it, keeping track of it, and then acting on it, I don't see a lot of people doing that.
So a great question came in about you know, average spending, and I'm going to throw that over to Rick in a minute, but in terms of like just getting started, this is the whole point. It's like, take that step. Great. You know, you got your accounting platform. I know that we're going to get to some actual tech stack discussions, but it does bear, you know, some focus on the getting started, the overall process and selection of tech. You know, you got your QBO, you got your Xero, you got your Excel, your tax software. What aren't, you know, for firms that aren't using, you know, necessarily anything, you know, much beyond those, like, how do they get started? I even heard discussions are you know, some of our good buddy, you know, Jason Statz had actually brought up the idea of like, yeah, you pretty much need to get started with a practice management system, and that's your base. But for some of us out there, it doesn't make sense. Kelly, go.
You can come back to the fellas in a second, but it took until the 18-minute mark to bring up Jason's name. Go ahead.
Oh.
Back to you.
I just wanted to bring it up because he brought up a very good point, and I saw a very good discussion and participated in the discussion about that very point. And I was like, well, there's some firms that don't, you know, necessarily want to start with a practice management system. They're not, they don't feel like they're at that level. They, you know, they have their core tech that they work on, but is that even like worth discussing if you're a six-person firm?
I don't know. Oh yeah.
Yeah. Okay. This is what we want to talk about here.
I'll admit I'm in Stats corner on this one. I mean, because when you think about workflow and your own internal processes for the Canadians, when we think about all of us have those in our firm, we have challenges there. It's going to dominate the way in which we work. And I think that's where there's low hanging fruit. Typically, we think about using technology to help assist. You know, startups, we work with a lot of technology startups, and you often hear that some of the best startups were built to solve a problem that the founders had, right? Something very near and personal. So when you're always solving a problem that you have, and trust me, if we go and ask our team, they will tell you about all the problems we've got in workflow.
Communicate.
I think it's a good point by Stats. I think it's fairly obvious. It's a very good starting point. It may not be that for everybody, but it's got to be at least in some of the first few starting points of what kind of workflow system is going to help facilitate the work you do inside of your firm and help your team members. I think that's pretty high up there, in my opinion.
Good way to get started, I think. Yeah. Yes.
You mentioned something about cost. I went to our income statement, and we're currently paying $350 Canadian, so $280, $290, whatever US per person right now at the level we're at now. And I think the price goes down the more people you have typically, but that's where we're at. And it wasn't always like that. I looked back 5 years and it was maybe half that.
Would you say it's a percentage of your revenue, Chad, or is that like you're like, hey, we budget.
No, it's seats. Yeah, it's butts in seats in terms of pricing like that. So again, it's different for every company, but I do like, if we're talking about that first version of starting out, it's how can I organize myself such that I don't operate in a silo?
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if you're two people, it's still a silo if you both don't share your information. So
100%. It could feel like you're at a much larger firm.
So for me personally, it's how do I share my emails in a way that allow us to comment and to work on those things without minimal interruption?
Yeah. Communication. Very key. On the cost thing again, and then we got wonderful questions flowing in. Please keep them coming, people. We're going to try to get to them all. Rick, this might be for you because, you know, CPA Trendlines, you know, they keep, you know, quite a number of statistics and do a lot of, you know, research, you know, out there. And it was a really great question about, you know, just approximately, you know, the average percentage of revenue spending on tech for, you know, CPA firm. Again, you know, you could break it down by size, but, you know, it's a pretty, pretty broad question. Do you have something that you can weigh in on that, Mr. Talbert?
Sure. I'm digging through the accounting firm operations and technology survey now. So far, we can tell you that only about 11 or 12% of firms report having any kind of budget set aside for it at all.
There's some stats here that Rick threw in the chat to everyone. So everyone kind of take a look at that so we can move on. But really, really, you know, good stuff. So about, you know, an accounting firm thinking strategically when, you know, change and new tech is happening so fast. You know, this is a point I wanted to make, but also roll into the fact that, you know, coupled with the challenge that firms really need to cut through a lot of hype around being modern and being more tech forward. And, you know, a lot of that just sort of coming from a variety of entities, some of it from the vendor community, some of it from, industry organizations that are out there with a certain number of initials attached to them. So how do you cut through? How do you get strategic? Kenji.
I think it starts with, there's always gonna be a lot of buzzwords, right? And so it's putting some meaning behind those. What does that mean strategically for you? If you want to cut through the hype, what it means being modern or more
there's a lot of
forward,
it.
There's a lot of it out there, right? We always talk about it. There's always panels and at every convention or conference we go to. And so oftentimes that gets held up or kind of idolized, like, wow, look at this tech forward or modern firm. And yeah. I think that really behind that strategically is, you know, are we being thoughtful about how we're solving clear problems? And I think the easiest place to go is to our team and to our clients, like, right? Mm-hmm. What does it mm-hmm. mean to help serve them better? That could mean using some technology that improves communication. I mean, we all know that all of us, that's the dominant issue most of us have with our clients is there's bad communication. Does something improve the communication flow, the workflow there? Does something help reduce the amount of time that team members have to spend on manual processes? So I like to think of it in terms of what can we do to, you know, what tech can we use to attract more clients, attract more team members who go, gosh, I want to work at a firm that's made an investment in tools, or even a client who says, oh, there's finally an accountant out there who's kind of working on some of the same platforms I am. I think that helps drive that forward and kind of cut through the language. And I think it helps retention as well, too. I mean, again, yeah. When you show, like Chad mentioned, when you invest in training, you know, in particular, but good tools for team members, they understand that there is a million places for accountants today to go work. It's a great time to be an accountant. They have their pick of the litter of where they want to work. They want to open up their own shop. And so I tend to think about it in terms of what's going to go and attract great people to our firm, what's going to retain them. And you better believe we got to put in place some good technology and some good training around them. That's meaningful to them. That helps their day-to-day lives.
And if you're thinking even about transition or succession, if you're going to sell your firm, what do you look like? Not just your client list, but, you know, do you even have some of the basic things that you need to, this is why this is pressure to look modern, be modern. It's like, well, yeah, you know, I would like to maybe, you know, think about selling my firm in the next 5 or 10 years. What do I look like? Am I using the best stuff?
I got something for that, Seth.
Please.
I was chatting to a new firm owner yesterday afternoon. His name is Jeff, and he... Mm-hmm. Has a firm that's specifically selling a product now. And that product is its core. Like that's how they're marketing. That's how they're attracting customers, like Kenji said. And the back end tech is to be desired, right? So he's putting a lot of effort into how do I present this? How do I gather the information? How do I make it as seamless as possible for my team? And that's a great example of what Kenji said, because he's cutting through the hype for the things that are strategic for him and his firm and not trying to play into the nice new cool shiny thing. So I love that approach. And that's sort of how we've looked at where we put our effort, because, you know, admittedly, we're still using tech that we used 10 years ago because it works and there's new shinier things out there, but it's not as important as the other things we're working on.
Yeah.
Like getting better data of our customers and like using that to do stuff. So I think there's a prioritization skill set that firm owners have in order to keep people happy and their bottom line a little bit happy too.
Yeah. Kelly, I know you're nodding along there. There's two full discussion going on here. You know, there's your process of selection and trying to cut through a lot of the clutter, but then there's also, you have to be mindful about, you know, your present and your future when it comes to not only, you know, maybe selling your firm, but also staffing up. You want to attract the right people. You want to look like the kind of firm that like, yeah, they're using things that I could get my head around, and that really shows that they, they're thinking of their clients, about efficiency. Kel, go.
Okay, so I switched practice management apps a couple of years ago. It is only mm-hmm. myself and one team member. It's just the two of us. Mm-hmm. I could have made a unilateral So it was time to switch. Mm-hmm. The type of work that I was doing, it was time to move on from what I was. And there was no way that I wasn't going to make that decision with Marissa. So I had a problem that needed to be solved. What I was using was fine, but it wasn't working as well as I wanted to communicate with my clients more than anything.
Yeah.
And then the second step was I did not make that leap without her wanting to be a part of the technology that I was looking at. So we had shortlisted it. So one, it solved a problem. Two, involved a team member. And then the third thing is, I also don't think we need to go for the cheapest options. So sometimes a cheaper option is going to cost you more in the long run. It Yep. should be part of your decision matrix, but it shouldn't be necessarily number one in that decision matrix.
Got it. So, you know, again, this kind of flows well into the tech stack discussion. We have all heard that you need the right tech stack. You've got people out there preaching about, you know, like, you know, you got, I'm going to name drop again. I hope you don't mind. Like, you know, someone like Dawn Brolin, who is really, really, bangs on about you have to get, the right stack. And she's got her starting lineup. And, you know, that might not be the best in terms of, you know, vendor mix or product mix for everyone. But the, you know, with any tech discussion, you know, the issue of tech stack arises. Eyes often glaze over, you know, what should really be the base? What's essential for firms today? Meaning, you know, you're doing tax, you know, the firms that are basically like y'all, just doing tax, doing bookkeeping work. And, you know, does time and billing come into that as well? What's the tech stack, Chad?
You're asking the Canadian tax person who has no relevance to the Americans here. So
right, but just in general, like you're thinking about tech stack. We're you know, being country neutral.
There's the big five, right? You've got your practice management, your tax, the actual accounting software you're using, the document management stuff, and then like communication. Mm-hmm. So if you think about those, there are a lot of options. So
time and billing, not.
Yeah. So for us, like our time and billing isn't integrated with our tax software. Mm-hmm. It's separate because we use it in so many different areas of the firm. Mm-hmm. I found it more valuable to do that because we're not billing based on time and materials. We're billing off of a budgeted fixed cost every month. That's the same. And it had no correlation. So as long as we got our metrics that were important to us, I'm super happy. So that's why I never really go into, hey, here's the practice management system for you. Here's the tax system for you. But in Canada, what was really important for us was to use an online tax system. Yeah. And the only one that had been around for a long time was CCH iFirm.
Yeah.
So that's what we use for all of our our tax returns since day one on the document management. We've been using Dropbox. Why do we not use anything else? Well, we tried, just failed. Different people didn't want to use things. And for decades, Dropbox has been around and it's been fine. Literally, like knock on wood, not one issue in like a decade. And tomorrow it's going to all go to crap, but it's been worked. So to the point earlier, like why switch something that isn't work or isn't causing any problems?
Yeah.
We use Carbon for all of our project management work and our email communications. That has single-handedly been the biggest upgrade in our ability to grow from the communication perspective, because now we can talk about emails and assign them to jobs and have full visibility. Like, to me, like that unlocked more potential wins than anything else we've ever done tech-wise. And then tech, and then practice, document management, and communication. We've always been on Google.
We just
integrate that with everything that we're using. So that works with Carbon. That works with all of our Google Docs stuff. So again, it works for us. It doesn't mean it's the best or it's going to work. But when we dabbled in all the big automation stuff, I mean, Google's pretty forefront there back a few years ago. Now Microsoft's kind of winning there, but we never had any issues. So I'm happy with the stack where it is now. Will we make any changes? Probably not for a little while until we run into problems.
Yeah. And then you do, you know, you've got your core accounting. I know you do a fair amount of compliance work. and then everything else, you know, that that supports that. Kelly, anything to add in terms of tech stack essentials? And is it, you know, as you know, as it's important, you know, enough to people kind of get a little stressed out about, like, do I have the right mix? You know, I don't know.
Well, I want to say two things. Chad pretty much covered them, except possibly one exception that I would add. And that I think a good solid payment platform, if you want to do AP for your clients, which has great, like the amount of money you can make on the actual lift is amazing, as long as 100% the only thing you sell is the outcome of how seamless it's going to be. Don't sell how little time it's going to take. Tell them how easy. And so adding a payment processing platform, I think, is the only thing that that I would add to Chad. But yeah, I, you know, practice. Chad didn't mention it. I know he's big on it, though, is an integrator to tie it all together. So that would be something like Zapier or Make, I think, is something. I think in the online scheduler and a solid form builder. I love forms do so much work for me. Right. I think a solid form builder, but now I'm really getting into weeds of what the little things are.
All right. So having, you know, having an integrator like a Zapier, you know, or a Make as your, you know, API choice.
I'm not even a big user, as Chad and I were talking about yesterday. I am not the biggest Zapier person.
Yeah.
And
a lot of folks out there, they're like, oh, I don't know. I want to deal with it.
But you know what? The little things that Zapier does for me all day long is great. Whether it's back office work, or there's a lot of things that Zapier can do within. I know everybody wants to do all the Airtable stuff and do all of the magic and all of this, but there's a lot of direct integrations from, especially if you have multi-entity clients, that Zapier can take the information from one file and feed it into another. So I think an integrator app, and don't be afraid of them. I mean, that's a big part of the tech, is being afraid of it. But even Zapier, a lot of the stuff is pre-built. Put in one app and ask it about the other one, and away you go. So that was a really long version of saying everything Chad said, plus an integrator and possibly payment, and possibly adding accounts payable to your client products.
And an AP solution. There's a lot out there, folks. Kenji, anything to add into the tech stack, you know, the basic tech stack discussion? You know, we're, you know, plenty of firms out there just kind of looking at what they have. They're like, I don't know, I do some stuff in Excel. You know, this thing isn't talking to this thing. You know, I don't know if I'm doing this right. Where do I start?
They nailed it. For the base level things, I think Chad and Kelly kind of nailed it. I would say that think something that may help as you're scaling your practice and firm is either look for this in a workflow solution. You may have to look elsewhere, is be thinking about how you can look at your clients holistically, or whether by practice, some place that you can kind of do overall firm management, or your team can do firm management of clients. And Carbon can do that. There's other workflow tools that can help you look at it in aggregate, not just assign out tasks to individual engagements, but can aggregate that. You can look for trends. That's important. It's going to become more important with scale. And sometimes that may have to move over into kind of a more of a dedicated CRM system. We got to a point we had to do that, to where we have a separate system that we really need to have to help kind of look at all the clients holistically and kind of do assignments and things there. So as you're thinking about your scale and you grow, all these tools change a bit, but that kind of almost managerial view over the client base becomes a bit more important as you get kind of in the 10, 20, 30 people on your team and more clients. That becomes more part of the base stack for sure.
And what about things like client portals, share file, things like this for, you know, for file sharing work? Does that come into play?
I think it does, but I think some of that's becoming, there's discrete options like Chad mentioned of Dropbox. I think many are starting to kind of embed that within their tools, within the workflow. Uh-huh. So there's some options there. I mean, it's not too difficult. It'll depend on what works best for your team and your clients to find some document management out there. Again, some are just already embedded in workflow tools. Some you might need to be discrete, have some different controls over them, whether they're, you know, Google Drive or Dropbox or Box or something along those lines. Yeah, that'll need to be important, especially as a I guess it became more important for us as we added tax. Tax is our newest practice line. We added a few years ago. That became a little more important for us having that. Historically, as a CAS firm, it wasn't as important for us to do lots and lots of file sharing. That's just our experience.
Can I throw something in about the document management?
Please. Yeah, I was going to add on that to that, but yeah.
The client portal thing. The client portal has become a big word. But really what it is managing communications and documents with your clients. The one thing that people lose sight of, they get all excited about these portals and they have not analyzed what the actual workflow that's working perhaps looks like, or where it's broken and where that portal could fit in. I see people integrate a portal, if you will, that takes them out of their process. I'll give you a super quick example. I want everything of my clients' bookkeeping documentation to wind up indexed. There's a million reasons why it winds up indexed. I know some of it's a Canadian reason. It needs to wind up in one place. I was looking at some things that were actually going to take the documents and put them somewhere else that would then kill that process of what we were doing over there. So you need to be careful that you're not disrupting a process that's working when it comes to adding in tech.
Excellent, excellent point. You know, non-technical, very practical, like, you know, and even to Chad's point too, like just, you know, make sure it's working and don't mess with things that are working.
I think Kenji and Chad would both say this because they both do tax and I do not. Mm-hmm. But my hot mess projects look like tax in terms of collecting documents.
I love that that's your in-house label for
yeah. So I think there, you guys, let me know. There's almost a completely, you're going to have a different process on this side for the tax clients than you're going to have over here for the CAS work.
Yeah.
So you may need two processes. Go ahead, Chad. Chad's going to totally tell me no.
No, I just really, like, I'm reflecting back on this section and there was a couple specifics, but I mean, I left out the most important thing because you just said something that sparked it. It's like, don't fix if it's not broken-ish or something like that. And
yeah.
Sometimes you don't know when something's broken and you need someone to tell you. And from the beginning, we had used password managers just because it was convenient. But then I started meeting people who didn't have password managers. And the conversations that came from that were astounding. And like once someone who is using one talks to someone who isn't, the next thing they're doing the next day is putting one in place. So it's still a very, very important base tech stack to, you know, throw in something that people that's being used really now that people are liking or that's really safe-ish, that's changing over the years. And like a couple that people are really loving these times, like KeePass, Bitwarden, 1Password, they're staying away from LastPass a little bit more because of all the hacks. Mm-hmm. And then there's a couple more out there too, but like give them a try. I would probably make that just as important as your practice management system.
Interesting. So
that's such a good point, Chad. That is an amazing point.
When we're all connected, we're in a connected world. You know, we got to keep on top of our passwords.
And to that point, there has to be accountability for it. So right now we have one person who like looks at our watchtower instead of 1Password. And if there's any duplicate passwords, they're in it every single day, making sure that there's no duplicates used anywhere. And the amount of times that people try to use the same password in different apps is astonishing too. So accountability with process is like happiness.
Yeah. Wonderful. Few questions have popped up specifically product, you know, talking about specific products. We got to bring them up. People are curious about, you know, certain brand names out there. SharePoint for document and file sharing clients with clients, excuse me. Anyone use it? Anyone can weigh in on it?
We did historically, but it was quite a while ago. I'd say before we saw the Google Suite really kind of take off. So it's probably been over a decade since we used Microsoft. I came out of a Microsoft background and a Microsoft tech company. So we kind of leaned heavily on Microsoft tools. And we just kind of moved away. It was a little more, our finding again, and take this for what it is, back then it was a little more complicated at that point to implement. So that could have changed, but we used to use it. Now we are not using that for any kind of document movement.
Okay.
Can I make a point about asking specifically about an app like that? Again, everybody's experience is going to be so different. Yeah. What's that? How's totally. It going to impact your process, and how does it fit in with the rest of your apps? If you're already a Microsoft house, then that's probably an option that keeps it in a suite together too. So it and also how do you feel about using it? So you take somebody like me, Microsoft makes me feel like a ding dong. I barely even log into Microsoft.
Thank Everything you for your about honesty.
It totally challenges me. But I totally understand Google. So yeah. For me, my initial reaction is, oh, SharePoint. But yeah. Maybe it fits in with how your employees, do we have to say team? How your team thinks and your how team. Your clients. So we tend to attract I attract Googler clients by magic because, you know, I guess I'm throwing it out to the universe. So when you're looking at an app that is a specific app rather than a vertical of apps, it's going to be about where does it fit in with my other stack? How do I feel when I'm using it? And what is it going to do to the processes that I've got going on?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Horace asked a question about multiples. I think the way that we approach that is, one, do we want to engage in an activity where we have to choose, like, do we want that customer? If the answer is yes, and we know that there's going to be extra work, like, what infrastructure are we prepared to put through to make that, like, relationship work?
Yeah.
And we always just said, no, sorry. Like, we're not going to work on Microsoft stuff. And then
taking a hard line.
But it didn't last very long. Now we have Microsoft accounts for every user here. So if they need to access certain things with a Microsoft account, they can.
No, good point. So it's somebody's going to be on some stack. It's like a Microsoft, not a Google.
So we don't use it per se for things, but we use it for access, which is nice. Mm-hmm. And just my own personal view here is that, like, technology moves in ebbs and flows. And, like, we're in an ebb and flow of, we're not really sure, like, how Google's reacting to the new AI work that's coming out. We all love it, but Microsoft has made a lot of promises and have a lot of great, you know, things backing what they're building right now. And, like, I'm open to the idea that if something is incredibly better, you take a thorough look at how this impacts your team and what the impact is. So, like, to say that it will never use Microsoft is a bad statement.
Right.
To say we'll always watch and decide based on pros and cons is an absolute accuracy.
And getting back to, you know, just the idea, you know, this does tie into, of course, you know, your overall, you know, processes and selection. You know, when we were sort of preparing, you know, for this chat, you know, Kelly brought up the idea of just like, look, it's not going to just be, you know, one thing for everyone. You have to be willing to try. And in some cases, it should be fun. You should enjoy what you're trying. Kelly, I don't want to take your words, but.
No, but fun is totally underrated. UX, UI, but fun is underrated. I have lots of fun little things that maybe I don't need. They solve problems, but maybe I don't need them. And yesterday, my practice management app is Financial Sense. And I have been bugging them that I want confetti or gold stars when a project closes. And yesterday we got confetti, and it's so silly and it's so fun. So some of these little interactions, we also have emojis in there. So if Marissa puts in a note, I don't have to pack back out a note. I can actually just like it or do these
things. Why the heck not?
So not only is it fun, it's kind of useful.
Cat face.
It's interactive. I think that some of those things are highly underrated in terms of usability.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, vendors definitely need to be listening to that. Before we get into our discussion about AI, and I know everyone's champing at the bit there, final notes on the tech stack discussion. Anything to particularly avoid or just, you know, absolutely should not, you know, do when you're talking about the stack, even, you know, for small firms? You know, obviously, you know, we've been talking about, you know, a lot of shoulds and some product names and some APIs. things like that, anything to avoid when it's coming to, you know, password protection. And by the way, I see a lot of your questions coming through here, and they're really great. Thank you so much. This is being recorded, and I'm hoping that, you know, the folks after this chat can, you know, hopefully get back to you, or they can feel free to get back to you individually on some of your questions. But final notes on the tech stack, things to avoid when you're kind of...
I'll keep it short. So
yeah.
If I had to do it over again, I wouldn't sell services that I didn't have a very thought through like support structure for. And when we started selling automation services, we had a team of five. And I thought that was enough to be able to sell and to support just for like 10 or 15 clients, just to test it out. It turned out that that is not true. There's just some services that are incredibly, they're just so different than what you're used to, that the cost of supporting them, not only is it unknown, but it can be unlimited based on like things that you may not structure in your contract properly.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't get right into things like automation services or going like all in on automation or AI if you don't have a great base. So keep that in mind that like, while the shiny stuff is really nice, it does take a really strong foundation to make it work.
Absolutely. Kenji, anything else to add there? And, you know, I also have kind of a follow-up in there, particularly about firm management apps, but.
Yeah. Things that I will avoid like the plague when looking at tech stack is confidence or just lack of support in their own support function. If there's not strong support there, and what I mean by this is not just say we have an email address or a help number to call in. If we're going to move, and this is something we do very thoughtfully, beyond calling you a vendor, I mean, I don't like being called a vendor myself either. That's kind of a one-way relationship.
Right.
If you're going to be a tech stack partner, and our tech stack partners are listed on our firm website, we invest in you heavily. You've got to demonstrate to us that you have a strong support function that is unique and discrete for our firm. Now, that may sound a little arrogant. That may sound, you know, like, boy, that's asking a lot. We know that we're playing the role of tier one support. We're helping probably sell the product for them at times. The least they can do is show that when we're going to show us as a true tech stack partner, that you're going to partner with us. And a client expects that. Something's going to go wrong. Something always goes wrong on engagements. But you know, frustrating it is for a client to take a look at like, well, if we end up finger pointing, well, they screwed up this, we did that. It's a horrible situation. They need to see that like, okay, there was a problem. But Acuity and Xero or Bill or whoever it is are actually working together in a unique way that they wouldn't have been able to get that level of support otherwise. So I'm very, very cautious. Table stakes are, of course, it's got to solve the problem we solve, the technology does. Of course, it's got to be financially feasible. But right, I mean, once those table stakes are done, I mean, it almost should be table stakes. I need to see a very strong support mechanism because that's just too much for us
to demand
our clients and our time and our energy on that. So that's a big one for me.
You have to demand if you're entering into that sort of vendor service provider accounting firm relationship, which we could have a whole separate discussion about how strained it is at the moment and has been, you know, building over time. You have to step up and say, I expect this level of support. I expect this kind of relationship, you know, from you to, you know, to happen. And also, you know, there was kind of a technical question that got thrown out there, and then we're going to get into some AI, you know, and I think it's relevant in the tech stack. We're all talking about sort of building. But what about when you're switching? We didn't really kind of get into that too much. When you're moving from one thing to another, say switching from like a firm management app, retaining the history, you know, how do you do that without you with the least amount of disruption? You know, because, you know, we're all talking about maybe moving to something better.
The only 5 seconds planning.
Yeah. Planning.
When we move to Carbon, we put one person's 0.5 of their FTE for 8 months onto Carbon. They planned everything. Exactly. And then when it rolled out, it worked. We did it. I won't say that that's what it is today, because it could be more, could be less, but for us, we were willing to put that investment in, and it was like our director of ops at the time. So it was really important.
10 minutes left.
I'll piggyback on Chad's real quick.
Yeah.
I think it's really important. In our experience, it's by far been the most difficult, challenging changes we've had to make across the tech stack. We've done it four times. I don't know why in the world. I mean, it just gives me heartburn thinking about when we've done it. And Chad nailed it. It's planning. The thing I'd add to that is
plan it out.
You will probably, we did a lot of kind of preaching back and have back why up. This is going to be, why this is going to be better, why this is going to be better. It's going to be better. Prepare for team members to be like, it's not better because it's different. And
it's different.
We'll take the better.
I don't like it.
Yeah. The return on that investment takes longer than I expected. And I think that's something to go into expecting. Just it's going to take a while. You're going to have to manage people's emotions through it because plan for sure. But it's not going to be, it's not something that's usually very well received by the team, even if they understand that it's going to help in the long term. It's going to interrupt their workflow in the short term.
Totally agree. AI in the accounting space, folks. Again, we could have a whole separate hour dedicated to that, and we still wouldn't really get to it because there's a lot of emotions when we bring up AI in accounting. You know, we were just a few weeks back, we were just down at a pretty sizable conference, Yale New Heights. This was a question that was on the majority of the folks, you know, minds and mouths, you know, talking about it. And, you know, there is definitely a lot of concern because there's a lot that's unknown. So it's really hard to, so in the few minutes that we have, I just want to touch on some of these things and get these discussions going. And by the way, that's what this chat is about, really is about planting some of these seeds, getting, you know, having you go back to your practices, go back to your firms and continue to talk about these things, continue to ask Kelly, Chad and Kenji about them, but hard to really crystal ball the whole thing. You know, cloud went through it too. We remember just that, you know, how it's going to take this away. It's going to change this. Where do you see AI working best in accounting, and where, if anywhere, are there or should there be concerns? Let's put it that way. Kelly, go.
Oh, with Chad. He was excited there.
Okay, sorry. Chad, let's go, buddy. Sorry. This one. I saw you both look like you were really excited about this one. No. Let's go, Chad.
Excited transaction coding. I think that is someplace that we coding. Can make a lot less mistakes. Two, auditing. I think auditing is going to look a lot different, and there's going to be a lot easier steps for our team members, a lot less hours spent doing certain things. Three is, as hyped up and as weird as this is, I'm doing another presentation on chatbots this Thursday with NIO's group, which is kind of fun. And I did a lot of research into this, and like chatbots per client is a really easy thing to do right now. And just seeing what that looks like and them talking to their data and reducing the amount of time it takes for us to answer questions and monitor what they're asking and get alerted to kind of cool stuff. I'm really excited about that. Four, ChatGPT has changed my entire life in terms of how I work every day. It's up.
That's a bold statement, Chad.
it's fundamentally changed. I'm building things I've never built before. I built my own version of life.
So you're having fun. I'm
having a lot of fun. And then fifth is, I'm excited for what I don't know. This is stuff we didn't know about in November that was possible. It's only July. What else is around the corner that could be coming up that is just so mind-blowing? Lots of concerns and all that, Kenji.
Yeah, we definitely got to get to those. One of those being, I'm sure, do not put financials in ChatGPT. I think we're very clear on that. If you don't know. So, Kelly, go.
Actually, I want to come back to Chad. You said you built your own live, and then I didn't hear what the sentence.
Well, you know how like live flow connects into QuickBooks and brings it all into Google Sheets. I asked ChatGPT to walk me through how to do that for Xero. So now I have my own apps working right inside of Google Sheets that connect into Xero that give me all the stuff in. I'm limited to 25 orgs right now with the stuff, but it took me 4 hours to build a MVP to like connect and switch in between the apps. And it's a skill I did not possess in November. And now I know how to do it.
Amazing.
Awesome. That's why you are the man, Chad.
Should be fun.
Stuff. Awesome. Okay, that's all fun. I wanted to know. Go, Ken.
All I want to do is just kind of keep kind of giving Chad the big AMN on that one. The last point I think is really, really important and doesn't get talked about enough. And that is almost at again, being interested on how things change. And I think that's especially for the firm owners, or if you're a leader of the technology practice in your firm, or even you don't have to be, but showing your peers and the people you work with a sense of curiosity, of interest is, I can't tell you how important that posture, that culture has been for us of saying, this is signaling to the team that we're not going to be fearful. We're going to be curious. We don't know what's going to happen. Okay, that's a little bit strange. We don't know what's going to happen, but we're going to be curious about that. But I'll tell you a little bit of a different way that I'm looking at AI right now. And this is because I'm not even close to Chad's technical chops. And I think most of us as accountants aren't. So when I think of like, oh my gosh, I'm building things like in tech, I'm like, yikes, that seems really hard. I love the point about kind of using ChatGPT as a little bit of a co-pilot. Like I'm going to have my little system, I'm going to ask things to and kind of get that dialogue.
Exactly.
The other thing what I've noticed is I think for a while I was feeling some pressure in our firm, and we like to think of a modern firm, of like, what are we building? What are we building in tech? Like, what are we building? And I was kind of feeling left behind, like, oh man, the world's going on behind me. And I've changed my thinking a little bit just based on some observations. And the biggest observation I've had is fortunate that we get to work with a lot of the great tech companies in our space. So I get a little bit of some insider baseball on some of that stuff. And I'm really becoming impressed. I think actually most firms are not going to have to worry about building their own. I think it's going to be reassessing our tech partners to see who is using AI well, who's using it responsibly.
That's going to be a bellwether. Well.
And there are some, I think there's, I feel like there's going to be a big shift again in the landscape by which of our tech partners out there figures out how to use AI the best, because those products are going to look really strong. And we're starting to see some of those already emerge. So I think that's, it'll be a whole new way we have to look at our ecosystem, but I don't think, I feel as nervous about like, what am I supposed to be building at Acuity? I'm like, oh, I probably need to be spending more time looking at how our partners are using it. So that's a little bit of my shift in thinking.
Guys, we have about a minute or so left. So we're going to enter the final thoughts part of our Getting Real chat. Thank you all for kind of getting real with us. I hope you got even a crumb of something that you can take back, that you can continue to have these discussions amongst your staff, amongst you know the people in your firm, the people in your professional life that you know. Everyone just you know kind of give their your final thoughts on tech adoption in the accounting space. Kelly, and then we'll go around.
Actually, I've enjoyed just echoing my buddies here.
And sometimes that's what it is, you know. We get a good group of people together, get good heads together, we think alike.
Right, and we're sober. I don't always see Kenji when we're sober.
So, I'm guilty of the shame, those who know me.
So I just want to echo Kenji's word. I said, you know, be careful if it doesn't solve a problem. I think curiosity was a great word. So that would
go forth and be curious.
Great walk away word. Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah. Chad, final thoughts?
It's easy. It's just be out there, make friends, talk to people smarter than you, talk to people that could learn from you. That's how I've spent the last 10 years. And it's been a huge unlock to just put yourself out there and say hi to somebody. Accountants are really nice people. And it's a great community to be a part of.
And you might, you know, get some chats going from this crew that have joined us here today. Kenji?
Yeah,
I would just say, again, it's a big ecosystem. There's lots of changes. And so I think when approaching it, go in either very specifically trying to solve a problem that your team has or clients have. Just listen to them. They'll give you good things. Hey, can you help us solve this? And focus there. Or go in with that sense of curiosity and just explore. Sometimes when I've made the mistake of when I kind of mix the two and I'm at a conference and next thing I know, I'm like, I didn't come away from the conference with what I needed. And I was just kind of, so just be a little bit of discipline up front with what you're trying to accomplish and switch back and forth, because it's a big universe out there, but it is pretty fun and exciting when you get into it. And again, ask for help, reach out to any one of us. We'd be happy to share, point you in the right direction if we can.
Have purpose. Don't be afraid. Be curious, ask questions, and, you know, see what's out there. Don't be afraid to try some things. Thank you all for spending some of your morning and afternoon with us today. Rick Telberg, final words before we sign off. I believe this recording is going to be made available to everybody.
Yes, this recording will be made available to everybody in audio, in video, and in transcript. And I want to thank Seth, Kenji, Kelly.
Yeah, Chad did have to jump off. I know he had a hard stop.
Inspiring, informative session.
Thank you so much.
And thank everybody
for having us
today for making it so good.
Thank you for listening to the CPA Trendlines podcast, a production of CPATrendlines.com, now available on iTunes. We hope you'll rate and review us wherever you find your podcasts to help other accountants find our show more easily. For more information, you can go to CPATrendlines.com.